Griff, lots of places we could go, but what about the Mitchell kid out of Nashville, the wide receiver, true freshman, and the game he had for Georgia last Saturday?
Yeah, he looked like he really worked to make the most of his opportunity there. He's the fourth guy that's played that X position. He got that opportunity with some guys injured and targeted 13 times, made 7 catches, had a touchdown, 105 yards. Hard-working guy that Georgia feels good about. He was only a 3-star, but he impressed him in the workouts, and he had a decent game. He's not going to make anybody forget about George Pickens. There were 6 balls he didn't catch thrown his way. That's not a good ratio, but he did make some nice catches. Had a couple drops, but 7 catches and 105 yards in a spring game, that gets you noticed.
Had you heard much about how he was doing prior? Was that expected?
Yeah, I mean, they've got a lot of guys injured right now. Pickens is out. He's the primary X. Jermaine Burton was the guy that they were going to try there. He's probably their second-best receiver. He's out with a hyperextended knee. Justin Robinson is the next man up at the X. He suffered a knee injury last week. Adani's a guy that, a quick-twitch guy, early enrollee. He's longer. He's got decent speed. So he's next man up. And, that's a position over there at the X where you get a lot of man coverage. And, JT goes where the coverage dictates. And Adani was in one-on-one coverage a lot and made, 7 catches on those 13 targets and hauled in a touchdown. So he's a guy that's impressed. But, again, I don't think we're going to be looking for him on any All-American teams or first-team All-SEC. He may have worked his way into the rotation, though, this spring.
Your thoughts overall on the spring game?
Pretty much what we expected. JT was efficient. I think it was good news with Carson Beck, a quarterback we hadn't seen a lot of, a second-year guy, former Florida Player of the Year, former Alabama commit. He looked very fluid, 6'5 guy, good arm. I think it shows you that Georgia's kind of got a quarterback of the future. If not him, Brock Vandegrift, he was a 5-star, formerly committed to Oklahoma, local guy. Didn't do a whole lot in the game, but what he did well. Athletic guy, big arm. So I think what you saw was Georgia's got a very deep quarterback room they should be able to continue to recruit to. They look pretty loaded at that position for the future.
Is Beck thought to be the consensus number 2 behind JT Daniels?
It's hard to say. It depends on the situation. Stetson Bennett's a 5th-year guy, played a full year JUCO ball, beat Auburn, Tennessee, Kentucky last year, led Alabama at the half 24-20, was leading Florida 14-0 when he suffered a sprained shoulder. So, this is a guy that's, won some ball games. I think he's got some equity with the coach. He's wily. He's got good footwork, good runner. Has some limitations as far as the arm strength. But I guess it would depend on the game situation. Stetson's experience probably makes him the stopper in a game if something were to happen to JT that forced him out. But long term, I think Beck is probably a more of an answer.
Griff is with us, Mike Griffith from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Dog Nation. Anything stand out to you defensively?
Well, their defensive front's really good. We knew that. We knew that going in. It was impressive to see, nobody really gets excited about interior defensive linemen, but Georgia's got some really good ones, Jordan Davis is monstrous. He's probably a little overweight at 350, 355. I think he needs to lose 10 pounds, but Jalen Carter's a former 5-star out of Florida that looks really good in there. He was active. Devontae Wyatt, 6'3", 320 guy, veteran, 5th-year guy, came back. On the edge, Nolan Smith, former number 1 overall recruit in the nation. He had a sack and 6 tackles. He'd been playing behind Aziz Ojulari, who'll be a first-round pick in the draft. And then Trevon Walker had another big day. This is a guy that's really come on. So, they got a lot of NFL guys on that defensive front. Secondary looked okay. But again, they were covering a lot of young receivers. Georgia's got, 3 or 4 really good receivers out right now. So, it's pretty much second-team receiver group. Outside of Kyaris Jackson, he's a veteran slot guy. I think he was even a little banged up, but really hard to evaluate, I think, the secondary, just because they were playing so much vanilla coverage, and a lot of the receivers they were going up against weren't frontline guys.
Any other true freshmen stand out to you?
Oh, boy. Well, I mean, I mentioned Brock Vandegrift, the quarterback. Right. You know, Amarius Mims caught a pass. That was kind of funny. I mean, he's just an absolute mauler. He's a future All-SEC type of guy. I don't know when he'll get on the field, but he will. He's an offensive tackle and, you know, one of the top prospects in the country. You know, Georgia's loaded with these guys, but, you know, it's just talk until they produce. I mean, you know, they win the SEC East, everybody shrugs. They got to get by Alabama, right? The critics are out there. You know, they don't think Georgia can finish. And to this point, they haven't. They haven't finished. So, you know, right now it just kind of looks like a program that's going to be a perennial top 10. That's good. But in the SEC, after a while, people want to see you win a championship, you know, and produce. And I think that's where Georgia's at is, you know, people are tired of the talk. They want to see if Georgia can prove it on the field.
Tell you what, that Vanderbilt baseball game for Georgia, really, they're hitting the heck out of the ball right now.
Yeah, they took 2 out of 3 from Kentucky. They got a young pitching staff. I can't explain what happened at Vanderbilt. I mean, saw Vandy came back and took 2 out of 3 from a really, really good Tennessee team. So it wasn't like Vandy's gone in the tank. Georgia just seemed to have their number. And, you know, SEC baseball's fun. It's exciting. It's, you know, they have, what, 4 or 5 of the top 5 or 6 teams in the country. But, excuse me, SEC softball's great, too. Another great sport. And that's something I'm kind of keeping an eye on here. As good as baseball's doing, the softball team's not doing as well. And, you know, Georgia should be a perennial power. You know, we talked about Nashville and how many players come out of that mid-state area in Tennessee. I don't know why Vanderbilt doesn't have a softball program. They're so committed to athletics, they don't even have a softball program. They got all that talent in the backyard. But Georgia also produces a ton of Division I players. I mean, they should be a perennial powerhouse, and the fact that they're not kind of makes me wonder if there might be a coaching change there.
Were you at Tennessee during the Rod Delmonico era? Baseball?
Yeah, towards the end of it, you know, Rod was kind of a boomer bust guy, and that was how it was recruited. You know, the Vols would cycle up and go to the World Series and be really good. And, you know, they were a high-scoring team. I remember when I covered the Alabama baseball beat, Tennessee was one of the more disliked teams in the league because Delmonico was going to run on you. I mean, he was kind of like the Steve Spurrier of baseball, right? I mean, the Vols were going to score some runs, and they were going to run, and that was the style of play they were going to have, regardless of the score. Nowadays, that's, you know, everybody loves that, right? That's what, you know, keeps getting Oklahoma in the playoffs, even though they can't beat anybody, right, in football. But back then, that was frowned upon. But, you know, hey, Delmonico didn't apologize for putting together what I thought was a really good baseball program. There was a lot of talk back then that baseball didn't get treated really well by Tennessee athletics. Some felt that maybe there was a conflict of interest with ownership and the minor league baseball team. One thing for sure, Tennessee baseball facilities had really fallen off until recently. And, you know, now that Tennessee's got those facilities up to snuff, you know, they're doing a great job there. That program's really invigorated.
A lot of talk that A&M's kind of come after Tony Vitello, which would be...
Yeah, I mean, he's a good baseball coach, you know. It's just, you know, what can you afford to pay? What are you willing to pay? I don't know the financial model there for Danny White. I know that baseball right now is bringing a lot of Tennessee fans, a lot of excitement and happiness. Everybody wants to be associated with the winner, right? And certainly, you know, Tennessee softball program's always good under the weeklies, but it's good to see the baseball team doing well. You know, Rick Barnes in basketball, I'm not sure... I'm guessing that's kind of a bittersweet taste right now if you're a Tennessee fan. I mean, Coach Barnes is a Hall of Famer, you know, but that Sweet 16 barrier is probably growing a little old, especially after the really large contract extension that he was given. So I can understand the bittersweet there with basketball, but, boy, I'd sure hope Tennessee would fight to keep that baseball coach because they look like they've got something good going there.
Yeah, I agree. If you got something winning on that campus, you need to keep it, right? You need to pay for it. And I don't know the model either. I would assume they would fight for him, but you know A&M. A&M isn't afraid of everybody knowing who they're targeting, Jimbo Fisher, and paying the money and taking your coach. They don't really care what you think.
Well, they got the money, they got the resources, they got the facilities. You know, we've said for a while they're a sleeping giant program. We keep waiting for the other UT, Texas, to kind of get it together. They've had it together before. It seems like they've kind of slid. It'll be interesting to see if Texas football recovers with Sarkisian. But gosh, you know, Texas was once an annual powerhouse in baseball. So is Clemson, for that matter. It's interesting to see how some of these programs have fallen. And typically, it has to do with letting your facilities go and not retaining good coaches. And, you know, I kind of go back. You bring up Tennessee, though. You lead me in this direction. You know, sometimes programs start to think that, you know, that they're entitled, and they start to think that anybody can win. And I go back to the whole Philip Fulmer fire. Anybody can win here, they said. Anybody can win here. Fulmer's not trying. He's, you know, anybody could win, they said. And, you know, that was 2008. And, you know, they haven't been back to the SEC championships yet. So I think you got to be careful when you start feeling entitled that you're automatically going to win at something because of your program's name or your program's image, your logo. I see that at Georgia. I've seen it everywhere. Everywhere you go, the school believes they're the best, right? You know, Georgia will tell you, hey, we got the best recruiting weekends ever at Georgia. Well, you know, Tennessee would tell you different. Alabama would tell you different. I did a conference call with some Michigan State guys, former players, and I tried to explain to them that Michigan State's not viewed among the elite. I got cussed out. I said, I don't think you understand. Nobody, Michigan State doesn't resonate. Oh, who are you to tell us that? You don't know what you're asking. Well, letting you know, Michigan State's not, like, looked at that way. But everybody has that delusion. I should say disillusion. Because where you're at is the greatest. And that's what they tell you. You know, the boosters that give money, all the people are talking, oh, well, you're giving money to the best school in the country. Well, of course that's what they're going to tell you. It's kind of like recruiting rankings, right? They tell you what you want to know. Keep you coming back for more. So I say buyer beware. You know that, Bill. You've been in this game a long time.
Griff, we will see you next Tuesday, sir.
All right, man. Have a good one.